A vision beyond yourself. Do you have a vision beyond yourself? Or is everything you do centered around yourself and you can't see beyond yourself? You can't see it. You don't have a vision beyond your own comfort zones. What is the next step? Where is that next step you were never before? So we want to look at that, equipping the church to take the next step. You know, in Death Valley, California, I believe, out there in the Southwest, in Death Valley or Nevada, it can happen about once in every 10 years. There's super bloom. The flowers in the spring come out after they had a lot of rain in the fall. They were amazed by that because the seed lay dormant until the conditions were right. And it's one of the most beautiful places to see if you could happen to see it at the right time. And so that's what I want to look at this morning. If you're born again, you know, what is laying dormant in your life that God put in there? He didn't put it in there for dormant. He put it in there to go beyond. Because what we do naturally, if we get hurt, whatever we do, we naturally put ourselves kind of a fence around us in our comfort zone, and we kind of make our own satisfactory place because that is who we are. And so I want to explore that a little bit here today. But when I was praying about coming here a couple of weeks ago, this is the picture that God gave me, and this is where this message came out of. You know, when you drive a car, which most of you do, we have a big windshield and a little rear mirror. There is a purpose for that windshield, and there is a small purpose for that rear mirror. But some people turn that rear mirror into complete windshield. Around here, you would end up in a cornfield in no time. The first curve you would miss. But so this morning we want to look at that. We have something. What are you going for? Where are you looking? Where are you going in your life? What is ahead of you? Yes, we can look in the rear mirror and see what we need to see going past in the past. But it's not something that will keep us going forward if we glue our eyes on the rear mirror. But the windshield is huge. Do we see that? The possibilities. The gospel. Is it being fulfilled? Am I driving that way? Am I seeing that vision today? A vision beyond myself. My ministry can be my own selfish ministry. I can center it around myself. So everything, from good or bad, we can make it our own. I remember a couple of years ago, we were on the way to Philadelphia, and a guy was driving me to the airport. And I was looking for the road. I wasn't the driver, but maybe I was the passenger side driver, because I wasn't comfortable where we were at. And all of a sudden I said, oh, there's where we're supposed to do. See that sign over there? That's the road we're looking for. And the driver just wisely said, that sign is on the other road, not on ours. You keep looking on your own road, that's how you get there. Okay, I got it. You know, we're always looking at something else, but the road we're on as Christians, we can't look at everything else because there are signs on that one too. But for us, are we on the road? So we want to read out of, if you want to go to Mark 14, we're going to camp out in Mark 14, verse 13 to 33. But I'm going to go bit by bit through this story, because God made you on purpose for a purpose. He didn't accidentally make you. He made you on purpose. You didn't just come about. He made you on purpose for a purpose. God has a purpose for you. So in Matthew 14, 13, I'm going to read two verses here. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence from the ship. I'm going to go back a little bit. Jesus just heard that John the Baptist was beheaded. He was his cousin. He knew him. He was the forerunner. And when Jesus heard this, that his friend was killed, this is where the verse starts here in 13. Matthew 14, 13. When Jesus heard of it, he departed then by the ship into a desert place apart. When the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the city. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. You imagine if you're trying to get away. Jesus wanted a time alone. He needed a time alone. And so you go way out in a desert place. You get there, there's a whole crowd of people waiting for you. Well, that didn't work, in a sense, we could say. But what did he do? He was moved with compassion. And what I want to bring out of you today, there is something for you to do, if we see it correctly. There is ministry. We're asked to encourage other people, to minister to them, to make it, if we can take a load off of their shoulders, that is what we need to do. And I'm afraid a lot of that seed lays dormant, but that is something we have the authority to do wherever you go to church. And if the church wouldn't allow you to encourage somebody, we can debate that. But we're not talking that way today. So Jesus got out here. There's a whole group of people. And he had compassion, that empathy towards the people, able to enter into their feelings. It's the meaning of empathy. So Jesus was able to meet their needs. He healed them. And when we look at that, he still hadn't got to the place where he wanted, where he was going to go, to be a time alone for him because of John's death. So he was suffering, we could say, from John's death, but here were people that needed ministry, and he stopped and took care of their needs. And I want to tell you something this morning. If you have a vision beyond yourself, you're able to minister through pain, not from pain. You got to catch that. We're able to minister through pain. Jesus was suffering. He didn't bring that up. He went and met their needs. He didn't say, "Now, come on, guys." He ministered to them and met their needs. He did. You know, many times people want to minister from their hurts. You know what happened to me? That doesn't minister Christ. But we can minister, even if our feelings, if we're hurting, if we have pain, if we have suffered because we see people walking away like crazy from the gospel. Yes, we do. That hurts every time. But can I still believe and bringing out the gospel again to somebody else and tell them it is the way without letting that dictate? I am on a commission for people to show people the gospel of Jesus Christ, to lift up Christ so all people can see him. That is our commission. Regardless if I'm hurting today, regardless if I'm sick today, regardless. Sometimes we can't do much in certain situations, but still we can do that. We got to focus on Christ and Christ alone. And so that's what he did. So again, learn to minister through pain, not from pain. Because if I use the center, what I mean by that, I have enough of stories in my life, much of disappointments, much of hurts in my life, I could only minister that. It wouldn't help anybody. Because I was not giving the power to help people. Christ was. I lift him up because he is the source. Can you minister regardless how you feel? Lift up Christ. You know, if I go by my feelings always, okay, today I don't feel like it, so I won't do it. Oh, today I just had a good thing happen in my life today, so now I can minister. Again, that is wrong. Am I settled on Christ? And the good and the bad that happens in my daily life does not change that vision at all? Or does it? When we were in prison a couple of weeks ago, something happened. In the building we were in were a lot of medical tents where they used to isolate people through COVID, and any sickness from now on they isolate people. But Saturday and Sunday we were in there, there were nobody. Friday, I think one person was still isolated, and they released them that day. Anyways, it was tough. I had to fight for my thoughts. You know, it's like you're thinking something, you quickly had to grab it or it slips away. You know, if you never spoke publicly, you know what I mean. But I like it when it just flows out of me, that I have to even not thought about it, really, and it just comes. It was a little hard. Maybe nobody would have noticed. And I could see God ministered through that, and the inmates were a little subdued. And I went back in my hotel room Saturday afternoon, just sat by myself, and plugged my ear. My wife was listening to something. I didn't want to disturb her. So I just sat there and said, Lord, what is it? What is it that makes it feel so hard? I feel worn out. I was worn out. I thought by Sunday after we had seven services, after all that, I'll be completely a rag, drained to nothing. And the Lord showed me, a couple words came to my mind, and I was not thinking about these words. He said, the spirit of COVID, the spirit of sickness, and the spirit of discouragement. Then it made sense. That room, I don't want you to run out of here today and say that it's a spirit. Is it or isn't it? I think it's an idol. You can't do this because of COVID. You can't do that. You know, we have elevated that thing pretty high. I'm not saying it isn't real. We know it's real. The disease, the virus. But anyways, I prayed right there. I prayed. I felt completely relief. I didn't have a burden anymore. I felt completely set free. Went to bed, had a good night. Sunday morning, I got to prison. It felt like a whole new day. I was not tired one bit. And I preached like I didn't for a long time. I was completely free. It flowed out of me. And the prisoners got excited. They started shouting. I didn't think they'd do that in that one. But the chaplain said, I thought the roof was going to come off. There was complete freedom in that place. It was like this. You see the devil, oh, there you are. And as soon as he sees you pointing him out, poof, he is caught. Because that's the verse in James 4:7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That verse made so much sense at that moment. Because I thought, was that just my imagination? But then it was obvious the next morning. The fruits were there. I'm not going into that debate, okay, guys? But the point is, that room, there was discouragement. We heard much about that in prison. Through COVID, they were only allowed like 15 minutes a day out of their cell for a shower or something. Only. They were like in confinement all the time. And they were so discouraged. There was so much discouragement. And so here, I don't know. But the point is, as we look at things, what is hindering me from going on? What is hindering me from ministering to others? What is hindering me from seeing the needs of others? Only one person that would love to hinder that. The devil. Submit yourself, therefore, to God and resist that. And we'll get to see more of this. So anyways, in verse 15 and 16, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food, things. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. It is interesting. They do not need to be sent away. Give them something to eat. You know, I don't know if they had a committee meeting prior to that and figured out they don't have enough money in the church treasury offering to take care of so many people. 5,000 plus, most people would estimate a conservative answer, 20,000 people. However, so they didn't, they said, send them away, Jesus. Let this be over with now. And he said, no, you feed them. Interesting. You feed them. We don't have enough. What do you have? Oh, we got a couple loaves here and a couple of fishes. He said, bring it to me. So they brought it to Jesus. He blessed it and handed it to his disciples, and they fed everybody. And they had 12 baskets left over, one for each disciple. I don't know. Don't forget this miracle. Here it is. Take it home. I don't know what happened to that extra stuff. There's speculation out there. But anyways, so he said, you feed them. What do you have? Do you have anything here that you can bless somebody with? All you need is a little bit, and Christ will give the increase. But many of us sit on a little bit until it grows, and then we claim it for ourselves. So are we willing to give that little bit, take it to Jesus? I'm not worth much. What can I do to bless somebody else? How can I encourage them? They needed something. They needed food. But today, so many people need spiritual blessings. Not your hobby horse, not your idea of how, but what do they need? What did Christ say they needed? And so they didn't need to go. You give them to eat. Jesus didn't say, I will feed them. He said, you do. So we're called to minister life to others, not to just wish them good luck, just empty words. I remember this years ago in the pastor we used to have, and he would say like this. He was one of the charismatics, and he would say when a barn burned down in the area, they would raise their hands the next morning and pray that direction and bless them. He said, which was more effective? The Mennonites down there rebuilding it, or them holding up their hands and blessing them? I think both are needed. Okay. But I never forgot that. And that in itself might not be enough. Because if I'm not encouraging people, I'm not talking about rebuilding a barn. That is good works, and it's needful. But I'm talking about building something up, somebody up spiritually. That's what I'm talking about. Because we need to build them up spiritually. Can I do that? Do I have anything that would bless you, help you along your way? Could I just give you a smile on your sad day? Am I capable of that? Or do I have to be ordained to do that? Okay, I know our thoughts. You know, we use any kind of excuse. I can just be there. My parents, my brother had a brain tumor at he was in the hospital at age of 2. They removed the size of an orange, an inch from here. paralyzed him, blinded him. And for 33 years, my mom took care of him before he passed away in 2010. But my parents always told me one thing. It wasn't the people that, they knew the people that came and tried to tell them how to deal with it that didn't know what they were talking about. He said the people they appreciated the most was sometimes those that hardly said a word, but you knew they cared. Compassion, empathy, able to identify with somebody else's need. That is a vision beyond yourself, I can tell you that. So we don't just go out there and give them empty words, but we actually give them something that will enable them to become closer to Christ. Now I'm going to read a couple more verses, 17 to 21. And they say unto him, we have here 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, gave the loaves to his disciples to the multitude. They all did eat and were filled. They took up the fragments and remained 12 baskets full. And they have eaten about 5,000 men beside men and women. Men beside women and children. You know, the little, they had a need. What was needed that day was met by a need that was among them that they hardly noticed. And I want to tell you, this is one of the greatest things. I think you want to find freedom in your Christian life. The little that we have, we take to Jesus and he blesses it. Many cannot humble themselves to that small thing. Instead, sit around waiting for something bigger and more popular, more accepted to happen. If we can look around and see, what do I have the authority to do and how can I do that under authority, in authority? There are things I have absolutely no authority to do. I have no authority to raise your children. And I am satisfied. There are things we don't have authority. There are things we want to mess with sometimes that we should not, because we don't have authority. And so what do I have authority to do? How can I meet the need of somebody else? How can I make it easier for them? How can I carry their burden for them? What is it that I could do in authority, under authority, and not ruffle any feathers? Years ago, I went through some things in life, and then I thought, what can I do? What can I do? I figured out I never got accused of setting up chairs, taking down chairs, taking care of the trash. Nobody cared. I had full authority. Maybe they didn't want to hear what I had to say, but the point is I didn't have to say anything. I had full authority when I looked around and was willing to do the smallest thing possible that bless others. And if you do that, God will increase. He that is faithful in the least will also be faithful in much. And as we look at those things, if you want to know how to minister to somebody, do something that nobody wants to do but is needful. So not just sit around, well, that's not really a big thing. We'll do it anyways, because I see many people, well, that's, will I be noticed if I do that? Wrong. You don't, We don't do it to be noticed. We do it to help somebody else. And better, not our focus is not on being noticed. Chapter 22. Now after this, Jesus straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him on the other side. And while he sent them a multitude away, when he had sent the multitude away, he went up in the mountain apart to pray. When evening was come, he was there alone. Finally, I think the best way to get, for Jesus to get rid of the people was to send them away on full stomachs. That worked. But the point is, he ministered to them, he met their needs, and then he sent the disciples away on the ship and sent the multitude away, and he went up in the mountain alone. What was his purpose? And, sometimes what is our purpose when we need to be alone? We want to reconnect. We want to refresh our vision in Jesus Christ. That is the reason of vacations. That's the reason of everything you do. Is it our focus on Christ and Christ alone? Yes, we can do a lot of things, but is that for refreshing of our vision? Always check that as you think of things to do. Is it refreshing? Is it giving me a new focus on Christ, that Christ must be lifted up in everything I do? And sometimes I long to be alone and find a place alone. I still miss my South African place. I would go down along the ocean, the Indian Ocean, and sit in a cleft of a rock alone with God. I don't find those alone places very plenteous here in Lancaster County. If I walk the street, they all wave at me. I want to be alone. So the point is, that's fine. I'm glad people are friendly. But the point is, it's hard to find a place, and I still miss that. But as finally Jesus had his time alone with God, yes, he needed time to refresh. Even Jesus needed time to refresh. But his needs didn't come first. He served others first. In that situation, the others were first. And that's who Christ was. Yes, he needed to go. And I encourage each one of us. Do we ever feel? I remember sitting under preaching. The only thing I wanted to do afterward is get alone. I was so convicted. I was so moved by the message. Who did I want to go to? To Jesus Christ and have a talk with him. That was my goal. That was my passion, to get alone with God. And that's still today. When I feel that, when I was in prison, like I said, I felt that I needed to get alone with Jesus. And I was not disappointed. Because it's from him where my help cometh. In Romans 12:15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. Until we can do this, we will not be able to minister life to anyone. Very easy, very simple. If I cannot enter in somebody else rejoicing at what God is doing, I got a problem. But if I can't weep with those that are hurting, it's another problem. I need to, and that is where ministry comes out of. Now, in verse 24, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be it good cheer, it is I, Be not afraid. You know, here again we see, don't be afraid when you're walking out a command of the Lord. When he tells you to do something, do it in a calm, peaceful, restful spirit. We see that more than ever today. My wife does house cleaning, and she has a lot of elderly clients. We had some over recently, and there's a lady that wanted to come, but a health emergency flared up in her life. She was so disappointed, she wanted to come to our house. They're Christian people. And my wife asked if she could pray for her, and she did. And now she told her the next time she was there that she thanks her. She'll never forget that in her life, how she prayed for her, because it brought such a calm, peace, and rest upon her life. And she would say it like this, if I'm correct: I never had anybody praying for me. Okay. People that go to church. Do we pray for people, with people? You know, if they never felt a prayer, or was it true they never was prayed for? It's hard to believe. But yet, those are things that we need to ask for boldness to do. You know, that we can minister to somebody's needs, that they will never forget that prayer. We better have that authority. We better. We're called for that. We're made for that. We're made on purpose for that. Now, the rest of the context here in the scripture. Peter answered and said unto the Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore thus didst thy doubt? Wherefore, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And when they were in the ship, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. What is this comment, O thou of little faith? Peter asked a question. There was a storm going on in life on the sea, and Jesus was come walking on the waters. Peter said, if it thou, Lord, bid me to come. Jesus said, come. Now Peter stepped out of the ship, but the sea was still raging. And I tell you what, when you see a raging ocean, there's nothing to walk upon. And so as he stepped out of the boat and started going toward Jesus, it wasn't like this, over here with Jesus, over here was the storm. No, it was right here was Jesus and the storm around him. And that's how we look at life today. We look, or we focus on Jesus Christ. Sometimes we just have a little faith. We change our focus onto the storm, onto the things of life, onto my daily problems today. I'm focused. I take my eyes off of Christ, and then I start going down this path, and I start going down. In my mind, where is Jesus at? He's right where he was, right where he is. We can cry out, Lord, save me. And so many times I believe we're those kind of people, that we're looking, we see Jesus, but if without heavenly power, Holy Spirit power in our life, I don't know if we can keep our focus on Jesus Christ alone if there's a storm going on. We need something that is beyond ourselves. And my vision, to have a vision beyond ourselves, it doesn't matter what's happening out here, we're focused on Christ. If there's something I need to do out here, then Christ will show me what to do. So as we see that storm in life and even other people and comparing yourself with other people, you're not looking on Christ. That is clear. If I'm looking on Jesus Christ, lifting up Christ, and somebody's over here and saying, this is the way to go. Over here, they're saying, this is the way to go. I don't know about all those ways, but I do know Jesus Christ, and He is the way that leads the path that I'm on. So we see that, and then he said, you know, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt that I am Christ? And now you're looking at the storm. No wonder you're going down. He didn't say you have no faith. He said you have a little. And I don't want just that little bit, because I want to keep my focus. I really do. And I know you do too. But there are things happening today. There are things that are going to happen tomorrow that's going to challenge everything. Are we going to look to Christ? Can we walk in a storm without losing sight of Christ? You know, when they got back into the ship, the storm ceased. You know, the point is, it didn't cease while they were out on the water. And they all worshiped Jesus. I don't think, if you read that text correctly, I don't think they worshiped Jesus because Peter walked on water. They worshiped Jesus because of who Jesus is. He just fed them. 20,000 people or so with two loaves and three fishes or three loaves, picnic lunch. Anyways, he fed all those people. And then they saw Jesus walking on the water. The worship wasn't about Peter. We get so caught up with Peter walking on water. And we think, wow, that would be great if I could walk on water. I'm not a water person, so I really don't get that. But the point is, I do walk in impossible situations this afternoon, tomorrow. I need the same focus as Peter was supposed to have. If I think that would be great to walk in that water and I can't keep my focus on Christ today, I will never survive walking on water. So the focus of the scripture is, yes, Peter did walk on water. He went down, Jesus pulled him up, and I think they walked back into the ship together. So remember that. They worship him. And I usually would make comments like this. What were the other 11 doing? It doesn't matter anymore. They all worship Jesus together. It doesn't matter if somebody has a greater gift than me, if we all worship Jesus together. I wouldn't be the one to take the first step probably anyways. So when there are probably some Peters in here, but I'll be satisfied with the rest of you 11. And when you get back into the ship, we're going to worship Jesus. So anyways, that's that story. As we see, it's a vision beyond ourselves. And where there's in Proverbs 29:18, as I close this up, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. In another version, it would say, where there is no vision, no revelation of God and His Word, the people are unrestrained. I pray every day for a list of people, and that includes this church too, as a church name, that God will give us a revelation of Jesus Christ and His Word to make it alive into our lives. Because if we have way too many people that are walking by the Word and it's dry, it is old, but we need a refreshment. We need to see that revelation of Christ being revealed in our life, that He is who He said He is, and that we will focus on Him and His Word is alive too. That's the vision we want. and in the steps that we need to take, as Peter took that first step out of the boat. What is the first step we need to take? We need to take those little small steps sometimes that we are not willing to take. And one of those is, how do I minister life? Well, we got to settle some things. I'm going to just run through a couple here. We need to be born again. And what is another word for born again? Surrender. That we surrender our lives, our own life, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism, water baptism is another step. Commitment to a local church body is another step. Because we're everything we see in life is that commitment to each other. And that's how we work together. We worship Christ together. We praise Him together. Everything is one another. And how do I minister life if I don't have people around me? How can I humble myself and serve somebody else without other people? It's always people. Sometimes, you know, there's stories like this, you know, I don't get along with anybody. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about stories I heard when I was growing up. That man doesn't get along with anybody. He's probably sitting on his own front porch taking his own communion by himself because he doesn't get along with anybody. Okay. But the point is the scripture, the church is a body of believers. And we need to be part of that. Yes, we do look for small ways we can bless. If we bless, we do it for Christ's sake. Therefore, as we do not control people, we look for ways to bless among with many other people. You know, it's what can I do today that will bless you? And hopefully you'll get blessed by several other people today yet. That is the body. You know, right now, my feet are blessing me. My voice is still holding up, and that's blessing me. My body is more than one piece. My hands are, I preach with my hands. You all know that. Anyways, that's also working yet. And I'm still able to see you. And so the point is, my whole body is working together for the purpose of delivering this message. Now, for you, how can you bless somebody else? And maybe somebody else blesses them. I have seen this over the years. Some people want to really minister to somebody and they kind of take control of the person. That is wrong. Okay. We are here to bless and to help people go on. They don't depend on me, they depend on Jesus Christ. Our focus is to point people to Christ, to lift up Christ so they can see it. And that's how we bless. And we look for small ways we can do that because God can give you bigger things to do someday. But He will not if we're not willing to do the little details. First step, we need to know God. Second step, we need to find freedom in that. Do I have a freedom? Am I overcoming myself and seeing a vision beyond myself? But what about my needs? A vision beyond your own needs. A vision beyond your own, you know, older I get, I have some health problems too, but a vision beyond that. When we traveled to South Africa, it wasn't the easiest trip. My wife had a blood clot just prior to we left, and that was a worry. But we knew we were committed to going. We're not going to let anything stop us. And we went. We found freedom in that. And it worked. We prayed. People were praying for us. Discover your purpose. Your purpose is to encourage people. Find ways to encourage people. Make a difference in somebody's life. Those are the points I want to bring out. And today, do I have the freedom to go beyond myself, or am I controlled by myself, my own way, my own feelings. Because I tell you what, I believe Christianity in America has a lot to do about the central and not about the Holy Spirit. And by saying that, if I feel like it, I'll do it. If I don't feel this worship, God wasn't there. That's central. That is how the world that's operating according to the scripture. You're a brute beast if you go by that. But the Holy Spirit, I want to see people again depending. This is the truth, and we're going to walk it out. Yes, in total dependence upon Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, to fill us, to give us the direction that we need. Because so many, I heard this over the years, I'm not feeling it. I would like to hear the rest of your story this week. What are you doing? Are you getting alone with Christ? Is the word alive? Because it is alive. Do you see it as alive? Do I know the Holy Spirit is witnessing in my heart? I'm a child of God. Do I see that? If I have that witness, because he said he will witness his gospel with signs and wonders following. I will never see signs and wonders if I don't have the witness I'm a child of God. If I have that witness, I can believe, I can fully do what he calls me to do, even if it's picking up chairs. You always have to set up and take down, so good way to start practicing. But as we do that, we know this is of God. I'm going to do it. I know he's pleased with it. You know when your father, or maybe some of us didn't see that as much, but we knew in a sense, even if you had a little harder dad or something, you still knew when they were pleased. But God isn't that. He is, we know when we do it his way, he's pleased. He was pleased that Peter stepped out of the boat. But he also told him the truth. Jesus didn't condemn him. And for many of us, that's where I want to wrap this up today. Are we willing to take the next step and see and step into something? I never did this before, but I'm going to do it. You know, it's really hard for me. It used to be more harder. I was raised a very bashful man, young man. I was afraid to talk to people. Because when I finally got enough of courage to talk to people, I would kind of stumble over my words and would embarrass myself. But I want to encourage you all, if you're that shy, you can do a lot of ministry without talking, okay? You know, many of us are very good on the job side. We can do what we're called to do. We can even talk then. But here, the gospel is, can I have a vision beyond myself and go places where I never was before, looking out the windshield, what is ahead of me, what does Christ have ahead of me, and I will do that until my last day? That is what we want to look at. You know, many of us, we look in the rearview mirror where I'm not, you know, this is in my past. Yes, if that is still hanging out there, that can be destroyed. You can be delivered from that. There's freedom from that. No question. Because that's who Christ is. That's why he came, to set us free, to serve him. And how do we serve him? I can't see him, but I see you. Am I willing to take a step where I will have to totally depend on Jesus Christ? And again, when you minister under authority, not something on your own, what can I do without, yes, I don't know a better word to say it, without ruffling feathers? Sometimes people disagree with us, and that's okay sometimes. But my goal is not that. I don't get high. I don't get a high off of being accused. And I hate that term, but I want to Do I get spiritual satisfaction from serving people, even if nobody sees it at all, except maybe one little person? Like when I was there in Africa, I blessed the little children. Jesus did. Why did he stoop that low? Because it wasn't an issue. He was who he was. He was there for all people. It wasn't if he was accepted or not. He was accepted, and just like I am accepted in the Beloved. Do I believe that? Oh, maybe he loves some people more than me. No. I could fall for that, but I can't find that. You know, I could easily see why he wouldn't love me as much as some of you guys. But he doesn't say that. I have to believe what he said. I am accepted in the Beloved, and today I can go and minister life, because that's what he told us to do. He said, you feed them. You feed them. You don't say, you don't come to me, Ed, you need to feed that person. You feed them. You go and feed. You know, I just had a revelation again. Something I used to do at the end of a service. I'm trying to figure out if I have the authority, if I'm under authority. But I'll put it this way. I will end it like this. I want to strongly believe that God is telling you to take the next step. Whatever that is, if you did this and you know that was that really Redchester, then do that again and go a little further. Always make sure that it's showing the person Christ more than ever before. Not you, Christ. And so today, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to let the church do their thing, whatever. But I want to challenge you, even today. This is what I used to do. And Jazzy or somebody can take care of that too. What I used to do is say, now we're all going to stand and you bless somebody. You go to somebody on purpose, with a purpose, and tell them something, not empty words, because we should prepare ourselves when we come to church. What do I have to give today? Most of you believe that the preacher better get ready. But I believe, as a preacher, you better come prepared. And when I walked in here this morning, there were a couple of young men here setting up chairs. They had a purpose. And thank you for setting up the chairs. So let's all stand at this moment. I'm going to pray yet. And then I'll hand it over to whoever.